Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
In the books. And boy, oh boy, does it feel good to know that we're all not crazy. Why, you ask? Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. hanging out with you guys. Janae going to join us in the next hour. Told you, it's training camp. It's grind time. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We got some great ones coming up. Diana Russini, our great ESPN NFL insider. Trevor Sikkema from the Draft Network help us recap day one and try and figure out best available. A lot of really, really high-impact names already making their way into day two. Some great value to be had. Bart Scott, former NFL linebacker, you hear on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, as a part of our radio broadcast last night for the draft with L. Duncan and Kevin Negandhi. All of them going to join us, but right now it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, because as we all try and take stock of what happened with the draft last night, I just take a lot of comfort in the fact that I know we're not crazy now. It only took three picks, but we were sitting on the cusp of something that was going to make me feel like I didn't know what the hell was going on anymore. And then we get to the third overall pick, and I appreciate everyone who tuned in and watched our live stream of this on Twitter, on YouTube, on Twitch, myself, Jason Fitz, Field Yates, so many great people involved in that. And saw the reaction. I almost split my pants when the 49ers picked Trey Lance, quarterback out of North Dakota State. But that was just it. We were all waiting around to see what happened with that third overall pick after a wild day where Adam Schefter reports that Aaron Rodgers is telling people inside the Packers building, Magic Johnson, I ain't going to be here. I don't want to be here. And all eyes went to that third pick. And when they selected Trey Lance, and really I say Kyle Shanahan selected Trey Lance because that seemed to be what the crux of this issue was going to be, I looked up and I said, all right, I'm not crazy, because then what we saw there was nothing surprising. Trevor Lawrence first off the board. Zach Wilson second off the board. Trey Lance third off the board. So now I'm saying, all right, you traded up and went for the upside play. Trey Lance, 1 year of full-time starting, but a spectacular year and a program you can trust, a brand you can trust in North Dakota State. Great stuff. We get further down. Now all of a sudden Justin Fields starts to fall, and the Chicago Bears make that trade up with the New York Giants. And I give credit to Dave Gettleman, who I've had some disagreements with the way he's gone about GMing that team in the past. The trade back there, absolutely the right call. We can talk about if Kadarius Toney was the right pick, the wide receiver out of Florida. But the Bears smelled blood in the water, and they said, we're going to go get it. And they went up and they drafted Justin Fields. And I saw the reaction from Sarah Spain, co-host of Spain and Fitz, who's a diehard Chicago fan, and everyone else around there who is through the moon right now. I mean, hell, I heard our Chicago station calling this one of the best days in Chicago sports history. It's that impactful because they saw a potential star falling and they went up and get it. They didn't leave it up to chance. But the real crux comes after all this, because then Mac Jones goes at 15, which, by the way, quarterback out of Alabama is, I believe, exactly where Mel and Todd had him mocked in the first draft. So, in the first mock draft, excuse me. Reminding us that the draft, like time, is a flat circle. But all that leads us right back home. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. It leads us all back home, because the thing that was hanging in the balance over that third pick, besides just my sanity, was, what's the Green Bay Packers going to do? What are they going to do about Aaron Rodgers? We'd heard San Francisco was calling Green Bay earlier in the day, and the Packers were telling them flat out, no, this isn't going to happen. We're not giving up our star quarterback. And Brian Gutekunst, their GM, has come out and reiterated since, we have no plans of trading Aaron Rodgers. And he even went so far, I thought this was fascinating, because we've had so much of the conversation shift to what Aaron Rodgers was owed, what the Packers have done, what slights they've thrown his way in this relationship. And Brian Gutekunst, their GM, talked about and was asked about their first-round pick of Jordan Love a year ago, and even offered this up in their press conference after the draft yesterday.
I certainly look back to last year's draft and just kind of maybe some of the communication issues. We could have done better. There's no doubt about it. The draft's an interesting thing. It can kind of unfold differently than you think it's going to unfold, and it happens pretty fast. But certainly, I think looking back on it, certainly where we sit today, there could have been some communication things that we did better.
You think? Like, this is a reminder, guys. Like any successful relationship, communication is the bedrock. And when you fall short in that regard, there's not a lot of things that can fix that. That becomes the difficult part, because now everyone's looking for the fix. I've heard plenty of people defiantly point out the Packers don't have to do anything right now. But man, when you get to the bottom of the first round and all of a sudden with the 29th pick in the NFL draft, the Green Bay Packers are on the clock and they take Arik Stokes, cornerback out of Georgia, who I like, who I've heard from a number of people might have been a player that was going to sneak into the back end of the first round at a position where we all remember famously fell short for the Green Bay Packers in their postseason loss. But man, on this day, with this quarterback, given the conversations we've had all offseason, that pick felt like an act of war. That pick felt like provocation. That pick felt like they were looking directly at Aaron Rodgers and saying, I don't care, good luck. And while it might not go that far, it's just a reminder of it feels that way because of where the relationship already is. And if you listen to Jen Latta, who does a great job as a host for us on ESPN Milwaukee, she pointed out that where this relationship is right now might not be salvageable.
We thought that what was standing in the way was restructuring Aaron Rodgers' contract, that he wanted some guaranteed time on the back end, guaranteed money on the back end that would make it so that they couldn't just move on from him after this season. It sounds like, based on Schefter's reporting, they tried now to restructure the contract. They tried to give him what they believe or what we believe, you know, because a lot of this is still conjecture, he wanted. And it sounds like he still didn't come around. So that's what leads me to believe that this relationship is too far gone to repair. That the Packers kind of came with hat in hand saying, okay, we got it. You're upset. What do you want? Mm-hmm. And he was kind of like, sorry, guys, too little, too late.
Janae Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. So is it too little, too late for the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers? I don't know. I think we're at an interesting crossroads with where quarterbacks are and the power they wield in the NFL right now, because we've had an incomplete sample size and an incomplete look at it this offseason. I know everyone looks at Tom Brady and says he got his way. Tom was a free agent. There wasn't a quarterback there. He had the choice of where he was going to go. It's an entirely different set of circumstances than what we saw starting to bubble up with Russell Wilson that seems to have kind of moved by the wayside now. He comes out, a lot of passive-aggressive shots about what he wants. And ultimately now we're post-draft, and it feels like we're going to have business as usual in Seattle. What we had going on with Deshaun Watson felt like it was going to get a lot closer to that. Someone who seemed to, at a number of different points early in the offseason, bring up things that seemed like blatant attacks at that organization to let them know how uncomfortable it was going to be. And then we know what's happened since then. A bunch of legal situations with Deshaun Watson that are going to make the football conversation a non-starter. And so now that leaves us with Aaron Rodgers. In an offseason that we started talking about quarterback empowerment, and a day and age where NFL players were going to be more like their NBA counterparts than ever before, now we've still got to wait and see, because I thought it was going to be too quick a turnaround for Green Bay to try and pull something off before the draft last night. And now, sitting here, I know some people are saying, well, you drafted Jordan Love last year in the first round. Clearly, you had an understanding of this being your future eventually. Eventually is different than now. And I think Green Bay, even going in before Aaron Rodgers pulled off the MVP from last year, before they were the best offense in the NFL, probably knew in the immediacy, at least in these first couple of years, Aaron Rodgers was going to be their better path towards the now that they wanted with the future in hand for later. And so the thought of, well, just trade him and get what you can back now, it's certainly the most value. But where you are as a team, and who knows, maybe what Green Bay seen behind closed doors as an organization with Jordan Love since they got him in the building has all of a sudden made them realize that the now is something they need to try and hold on to. And so they've got the benefit of time. They can try and hopefully see if, like we saw with Russell Wilson, hey, maybe they draft a couple of receivers in these middle rounds as we get going in the NFL draft on days 2 and 3. Maybe that's enough to pacify Aaron Rodgers as we get through the offseason and he looks around and says, huh, you know what? Maybe I don't have as many opportunities elsewhere on a team this good at the age I'm at to try and make it work. But one thing's for sure. We heard that 3 different members of the front office for Green Bay had to make separate trips out to talk to Aaron Rodgers. I have a feeling these are not the last airline tickets that the Green Bay Packers organization has spent on trying to get their star quarterback back in the building. But one thing's for sure, until they're able to try and smooth this over or mend that fence behind closed doors. Everything that happens in public, even like picking a defensive back in a spot that you can say football-wise you need, it's all going to feel like a declaration of war between these two parties. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. If you want to call in and talk about your team's draft from last night, we know we had the Giants trading back. We had Chicago trading up to get their quarterback of the future. The Eagles making a move to get a bona fide wideout, showing us just how secure Jalen Hurts' future, at least in the immediacy, feels right now. But coming up next, can Justin Fields actually be the one to save not only Ryan Pace, but Matt Nagy's job at the same damn time? We'll ask one of our great insiders next here on ESPN Radio.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I enjoy when TV shows, radio shows go off the rails because then I get to learn about the people that I work with. If you pay close enough attention, you pick these things up. Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. hanging out with you guys. Trevor Sikkema from the Draft Network going to join us in about 10 minutes. Chop it up about what we saw in the first round. Jhené Egbuamuke going to join us at the top of the next hour. She's coming straight off practice. I still don't quite understand how she survives all these situations, but that's why she's better than me. But the thing I found out about some of my friends and coworkers earlier this morning was on GetUp. I saw a conversation between Dominique Foxworth, Dan Orlovsky, Ryan Clark, and some folks about bacon. And apparently, Dan Orlovsky decided that this was the time where he was going to tell the world that he was a guy out here of his own free will, going to defend turkey bacon over regular bacon off the merits of taste. And I have to bring in Diana Rossini, our great ESPN NFL reporter, who's going to give us some great news. She's been covering the Falcons, the Saints, the Bears for the NFL draft. But Diana, tell me you're on the side of reason here that you're a regular bacon person against turkey bacon.
I don't really want to get into my bacon preference because I'm normal and I like regular bacon, but I want to have more of a conversation about how strange Dan Orlovsky is just in general. I think we can agree he's a brilliant, brilliant analyst. He's really good. He works hard. He's been an incredible addition, I think, to ESPN in the last 2 years or year or so. And I find out on Twitter, on the radio, just like the way you have, all his preferences in food and drink. And he's just someone I would never hang out with. And I tell him this, and I'm friends with him. I just don't want to hang out with him. He likes strange things. Everything is just weird. Like, just being normal. Open up a cold beer, drink from a can, hang out and watch sports. He has these just odd choices of the way he lives.
It is. It's so strange, Diana. And we do. We all, like, this comes from a place of love with Dan, but you're right. Diana, the thing I always love about you is I know if we're going to go out for beer somewhere, Diana Rossini's down to go. Like, we can go out, we can have a couple of beers, we're going to eat good, and it's going to be a normal night out. With Dan, I feel like I've got to, like, ask him about his food tolerances before we do this.
Exactly. But you and I would open up the menu, we'd go to the appetizers, pick the normal things people get. We'd get probably wings, maybe some calamari. Maybe potato skins if we're a little hungry, we work a lot, whatever it is. You're right. Dan is the guy that gets, like, the lettuce wraps.
Oh, yeah.
Or the veggies and hummus. You know, it's like,
he's got to ask the waiter, like, two or three questions about other options on there. It just gets to be too much. So this is all to say, Diana, I'm really glad you're here to have a normal, upstanding conversation about the NFL draft from last night, in addition to all the great appetizers that we'd pick out. And I want to start with what feels like the main course from last night as far as excitement. The Chicago Bears trade up to go get Justin Fields. Diana, is it fair to say that Justin Fields is a player capable of saving what right now feels like the jobs of Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace that appear on the line?
Yeah, it seems that that's the reason why they made the move. And there's obviously tons of pressure on this front office with Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. And I had been told for weeks that the plan was going to be to get a quarterback and they were going to trade up. Obviously, it's one of those you have to wait and see if it happens, and because they need a trade partner. And they were able to do that. It seems, and this is coming from the mouth of Ryan Pace last night, that they really want to follow that blueprint of what Kansas City did when they drafted Patrick Mahomes, which it is kind of funny to think the Bears talking about Patrick Mahomes because, you know, that's the one topic they don't want to talk about. It's like now they're like all comfortable saying Patrick Mahomes. They're like, we're going to do what Patrick Mahomes did with Alex Smith. It's like, oh, now you want to talk about Mahomes. But either way, the idea, though, is to really take from that blueprint of what they did there. This is what they're saying, right? Like, we've covered football long enough to know that head coaches, when the pressure gets hot and it's, you know, week six and they haven't won any games, and that rookie who you traded up for is sitting on the bench, you know, the pressure's on to put them in there, especially knowing that the leash is really short. So, you know, I was calling around yesterday, Mike, just to get more evaluators to share what they thought about Justin Fields, because I do think people change a little bit once the draft happens and the picks are made. More people are honest about how they feel about things, oddly, I find, from doing this. And one of the comps I heard last night was he's a little bit like Marcus Mariota. He has a little bit of that with just a bit of a stronger arm, more athletic. And I hadn't heard that before. I do think they have an incredible option there, knowing what we all know, which is we know what Andy Dolan is at this point.
Janae and Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to our ESPN NFL reporter, Diana Russini, covering, among other teams, the Bears, the Saints, and the Falcons for us heading into the NFL draft. And Diana, last night the Falcons take Kyle Pitts at 4. Was there any inkling on your part or any concern, the idea that they would have taken a quarterback at that 4 spot, as so many fans I know were looking at the quarterback of the future?
Yeah, they loved Trey Lance. I know that. I don't think they loved him enough to take him instead of who they thought was the best player on the board. I know their first option, though, Mike, was to trade out. They really wanted to trade out, and they were going to ask a lot for that spot, which they should. And talking to different organizations that were looking to get into that spot, because a lot of people wanted either a quarterback or Kyle Pitts himself. I had one GM say to me yesterday, it's kind of funny, he said, stop saying that the Falcons want out. They don't. When I talked to them, I was making numbers up. I was making up picks from different rounds just to see if they'd bite. And they weren't biting on anything because I don't really think they want to move, which I thought was really funny and interesting. I was like, maybe they just didn't want to trade with you. You know, like, maybe it's you, not them. But I did talk to other teams, though, that said that, you know, the asking price was just too much. And the overall feel was, you know, kind of when in doubt, stick with the board, go with the best player. And they're obviously thrilled that they have Kyle Pitts now. And, you know, you look at the roster, they only have Matt Ryan as a quarterback under contract there. So they got to go get a quarterback over the next few days here. I don't get a feeling it's going to be tonight. I really don't. I think they're going to sit back and find some other positions that they want to fill. If they see one of value there, there's only, you know, 2 legit really good ones left. Well, let me drop the really good ones. You know, so I think at this point for them, they're going to just take the best player available once again here, unless they can get another option to trade out because they picked 3rd tonight.
Lots to keep an eye on with the Falcons, but you're right. Hard to complain when you get the space alien on board your team at 4 in Kyle Pitts. Everyone follow her on Twitter at Diana ESPN. Know she's going to come to you with the best possible food takes and all the great info you need. Diana, you're the best. We'll talk to you soon, friend.
Bacon for life. We love pigs.
Let's go. Strictly pork around here. None of that turkey bacon. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Settle in with host Nate Burleson and guest Justin Fields, Najee Harris, Jamar Chase in the new Progressive YouTube series, Up All Night. We're replacing fluff questions with fluffy pillows to get to what's real. Watch every episode of Up All Night exclusively on YouTube.com/Progressive. All right, coming up next, the most exciting, shocking pick from last night's draft. We'll get to that after this word from 303 Products. Now, have you ever seen a vehicle at a stoplight or a parking lot that just seemed to stand out because of its deep mirror light paint? You're probably thinking you don't have the money, you don't have the time to spend to do that to your own vehicle. Think again. The new 303 Graphene Nano Spray Coating is a revolutionary new product that produces the same level of protection and shine that you'd get from a professional detail, but it can be done yourself in your own garage. Simply spray it on, let it haze, buff it off. You will have up to a year of paint protection in addition to that jaw-dropping depth and gloss that will have others admiring your ride all on this next drive. It'll help repel dust and reduce water spotting and to keep it cleaner between washes. You can also use it on your car's glass, the wheels, even the trim. It's available now at Advance Auto Parts and Pet Boys locations nationwide. Or you can learn more by visiting 303radio.com. Back after this, Chanay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chanay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80. Mike Golic Jr., Chanay going to be with us at the top of the hour here, getting done with practice. We're talking about practice as Bart Scott joins us in studio, giving us the Straight Talk presented by Straight Talk Wireless. You can hear him as a part of Bart and Han, obviously former NFL linebacker. And how about that? I get to come in here every day, sit in this climate-controlled environment, and Chanay is going to basketball practice in the morning and then busting you-know-what home to get here to do the other part of the show, the better part of the show.
Listen, man, they've been doing their thing, man. And, you know, she's amazing. You know, I couldn't imagine doing that. I'd be sleepy after practice. When is the last – post-retirement, I don't know if I ever got it past 60, you know what I mean, anymore.
I'm
relaxing, man. So shout out to her, man, for being able to put a commitment.
I can say the physical commitment, the mental commitment, everything else. Because you're right, once you shut it down, most everyone just shuts
it
down.
I'm not tough no more. I'm not fighting. I'm putting a sweater on. I need a blanket.
For who? For
I need
what?
I need Uggs. I need all the all the comforts. No more tough guy stuff.
Exactly. I can say you get to leave that. You did that for a long time, and now it's good to go. We'll leave it to the young guys now, the guys that are getting in, the guys that we saw get their names called last night. So you were part of our radio coverage last night on ESPN Radio, L. Duncan, Kevin Negandhi and company. As you guys are going through and watching the draft, we got the first round in, a bunch of big moves made. What was the biggest thing that stuck out to you from night one overall?
I mean, you have to tip your hats off to Chicago for being able to get their guy. I mean, they were the butt of the jokes, QB1 and all those things. And they finally ended up with maybe arguably the best quarterback out the group. And you think about Nagy, you think about Pace being able to buy some time, push the pause button, because you know that, you know, in case of emergency, break glass is always get a young quarterback that says, hey, this is my guy, right? Like, Trubisky wasn't my guy. Let me show you what I can do with my guy. And then that buys you a year or two. And with the Aaron Rodgers news, like, who knows what that division is all about now, right? Because if you're Chicago, are you afraid of the Detroit Lions and biting ankles and Achilles tendons and, you know, meniscus? I'm not. You know, are you worried about Minnesota? No, it's about even there. So if this young quarterback can learn and I believe come in later in the season and maybe have an opportunity with that defense to kind of win ugly like I did with Joe Flacco, like I did with Mark Sanchez. You know, it's formulas for young quarterbacks, but I think nowadays, even, you know, post 2015, you know, the quarterbacks now are so more prepared to be throwers of the football because the game has changed. That's why I think now when you look at the receivers are the new running backs. Used to be the position that translated the most to college straight to playing was the running back position. But now these guys understand how to read coverages, the rotations of the safeties, be on the same page where the quarterback and the receiver are reading man in zone and being able to sit in the zones, know what route to run if it's man, know what runs if it's zone. And so now, you know, the game is so much more advanced, so now young guys can play and play at a high level early.
It's incredible, and especially looking now at this year's draft, we saw so many receivers from college reunited with their old college quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Devontae Smith ended up with Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia, Waddle with Tua, Jamar Chase with Joe Burrow.
ETN I didn't get, though.
So I want to go there because we have so much conversation about running backs in the NFL now. We saw back-to-back the Pittsburgh Steelers take Najee Harris at 24, and then right after that, Travis Etienne for the Jacksonville Jaguars. How?
I mean, it makes sense. Okay, I mean, that's the mock draft that everybody had, you know, linked, right? Najee Harris, because Pittsburgh Steelers, you got to understand, there's certain things that you always are supposed to be able to count on when you think about the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's outside pass rushers, it's center, and it's running the football. And they got away from that, right? And they got to understand that now that they have a quarterback that doesn't want to put himself at risk. It was all fun and games when Ben was willing to look down the barrel of a gun and still deliver the football. But now at an advanced age, he has more things to lose, right? He's thinking about quality of life. He's thinking about raising his kids. And he knows that he's closer to the end than he is to the beginning. So he's not willing to sit in. So now you get a little chucking and ducking going on. That's something that we're not accustomed to seeing from Ben Roethlisberger. He's more about death by a thousand paper cuts, being able to use his mind, not so much his body. You know, Ben was always a guy that can buy time, but he bought time by swatting defenders away, taking hits, spinning out. But that's taking a toll. I remember playing with the late Steve McNair, and it becomes a point where your body just can't recover anymore. So, I mean, I think, you know, that was the right move for them, thinking about what they have on the skills position. They have two great young, you know, receivers in Juju and Claypool. They got Ebron. They got – and now they need – now they have a running back. So they have a shot, and that division is always going to be up for grabs. I never believe in Cleveland wholeheartedly.
No, I can say that's always going to be a prove-it team for a lot of people. Chenan right. Golick Jr. here, Mike Golick Jr. talking to Bart Scott, co-host of Bart and Han here on ESPN Radio. And you mentioned ETN, though, because we look at the draft for Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence was the slam dunk. We all knew it was going to happen, but you get down. So many needs. You found an undrafted free agent last year that was top five in rushing yards. How do you justify this?
You brought in Carlos Hyde. I mean, what do we got? 20 carries for everybody? You get a carry, he get a carry? I mean, at some point, you have to be able to either protect, you know, you got to protect your investment. Yeah, I'm not a believer in Cam Robinson. Yeah, I think he's an okay player, but I don't think he's a guy that you're going to trust to protect your franchise. You had opportunities. Darrishaw had fallen. You had opportunities to address that position. You know, also, you think about all the good players that they lost on the defensive side of the ball. You know, they let Yannick go. I understand they got to be with Chaseon. They got Chaseon last year, so they got him with Josh Allen. You got Miles Jack. But you got to start replacing some of those pieces on the defensive side of the football. And, you know, Urban Meyer is going to have a much harder task than what people believe because, one, he's not a guy that seems like he's long for the job. He's a guy that's quit on teams. Yeah, I know health reasons.
I was going to say, we all know the circumstances around those jobs. Health was the reason, but we weren't ever sure if it was the whole reason.
Exactly, but, you know, he wasn't always a great decision maker. You look at, you know, trying to hire, put the band back together, trying to hire the strength coach. That wasn't a good idea. Yep. You know, he has to understand now, too, that he's dealing with men. You know, it's been very few college coaches that's been able to make that transition. You know, and you know, so far I'm giving him a C-minus. You know, he has a lot to live up to because they have a brand issue as well in Jacksonville, right? Anytime the NFLPA says, "Hey, free agents don't go here," you know, you have to they're wearing the scarlet letter, so to speak. So they're going to have to change their identity and be able to, you know, make themselves an inviting place where players will want to come in as free agents.
I can say it's a difficult uphill task. We know we said that even for Trevor Lawrence, as great as he is, it's going to be a lot working against him in Jacksonville right now. And last night got off to a bit of an uneven start. Tonight, add some more depth out. Can be back on the radio broadcast with everyone over there.
Yep, absolutely.
Rounds 2 and 3 as we watch everyone build it out. Reminder, the 2021 NFL Draft on ESPN Radio is presented by Sherwin-Williams. The second and third round coverage starts at 6 o'clock Eastern. We're taking you up till 6 Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. L. Duncan, Kevin Negandhi, along with Mike Tannenbaum, Ian Fitzsimmons, and Bart Scott, who you can also check out on Bart and Han here every day on ESPN Radio. Boss, we appreciate you. Thanks so much.
I got no life, man. I appreciate the invite.
Hey, listen, I know the feeling. Now, any of us that work here.
Yeah. I'll just fall asleep in the other room anyway, but it's all good.
Exactly. In between naps, we do hits on radio. Coming up next, though, as we head into rounds 2 and 3, I'll give you the best available heading into night and the one to watch that may fill out your depth in one of the most important positions in football. We'll get to that next here on ESPN Radio.